Liverpool Live. During my 50 years on radio, it's been my very great pleasure to interview many people from all walks of life in the entertainment world. Johnny Kennedy started off his life as a comedian, also became a fantastic opera singer, but his main achievement was on radio. He had many great years on Radio City, and he produced one of the most interesting phone-ins of all time, The Bride of the Week.
Billy Butler on Liverpool Live with Morton's Dairies. Everything you need and everything you want, delivered to your door.
Liverpool Live. And it's time for the Liverpool Live Retro Countdown. And we go over to December 1986 for the Liverpool Top 10. At number 10, Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi. At number 9, Big Fun by The Gap Band. At number 8, Final Countdown by Europe. At number 7, Cry Wolf by Aha. At number 6 is This Is Love, Alison Moyet. Number 5, Sometimes by Erasure. Number 4, Open Your Heart by Madonna. Number 3, Caravan of Love. Number 2, Riek Petit by Jackie Wilson. And at number 1 in the Liverpool charts on the 24th of December 1986, Johnny Kennedy is my guest. Welcome, John.
Hiya, Bill.
How are you, mate?
I'm pretty good, thank you. Pretty good.
Good, good. So when the Echo first phoned you and told you that that was number 1, you were rather surprised, weren't you?
I was more than surprised, Bill. I just couldn't believe it. I was thrilled to bits as well. Yeah. And also so with the family. And that in a way was the best thing of all, you know, because they were all big Billy Butler fans. And for me to be on your programme with a number 1 on Merseyside, you'd have thought they'd won the pools.
Well, there we are. Just shows you, doesn't it? That's why I never recorded anything. Johnny Kennedy, let me see now, a comedian, marathon runner, opera singer, hit recorder and teacher. So you started off as a teacher, John?
I did, yeah.
Where?
In Yorkshire, actually, because I went to college in Yorkshire, just near Doncaster, Scoresby, the place was called. And I did, no point in saying I didn't do well. I did great as a teacher because I loved the kids. I wasn't too keen on the teachers. I wasn't really, but I loved the kids. And if I had a secret, like all teachers, I had strengths and weaknesses. But one of my strengths was I could make the kids laugh.
Yeah.
And if you can make kids laugh, well, you're halfway home, aren't you?
And another teacher who made it well, Tom O'Connor.
Oh, indeed.
You got a lot of inspiration for your material off your kids.
Oh, very much so, yeah. And the thing was that kids are brilliant, you know. Once they knew that they were helping me, well, they helped me even more then, didn't they?
Yeah.
So they made teaching very easy. Although I got a message from one of the kids only a few days ago, and she said something which was a bit unfortunate, really, but that's life. She said, one of your problems was because you were so successful as a teacher, the other teachers didn't like you.
Yeah. Well, I've got a quote from that, actually, haven't I? Because was it a school in Crosby you were doing?
I was at Crosby. And
Liverpool did a rundown of the 100 most popular teachers on Merseyside. And Johnny Kennedy was in there. And a lady by the name of Emma Keane said, Mr. Kennedy, he was awesome. And the day he left us, he cried his eyes out. He cried like a baby.
Oh, God.
And all the other teachers were jealous of the popularity of Mr. Kennedy. I'm surprised you never got a Saturday from while you're at school, John. So how, when did the change come from teaching to comedy?
Well, even while I was teaching, I was teaching and I was doing the clubs as well. And it got to a ridiculous situation, Bill, where I was getting more for one appearance in the clubs than I was for a whole week of teaching.
Yeah.
And you know, if you're going to do teaching properly, then it's a hard job.
It takes all your time.
Absolutely it does. And I felt a bit guilty, really. I thought, I'm messing about here, you know, getting more money for one show than I'm getting for a week's teaching, you know. And I decided I'd pack it in then. And it was a very, very sad day. The kids were crying.
Yeah.
I was crying.
Yeah.
But you know, the most moving thing of all that happened, and it was so unusual, it amazed me at the time. Every school's got its good kids and every school's got its bad kids. And without it, I won't mention him on name here, but on air by name. His name is Trevor, but I wouldn't say his second name.
Okay.
And he was the worst kid in the school. And anyway, when it was announced that Mr. Kennedy was leaving, you know, everybody was very nice to me, and I went out to my car, and Trevor, worst kid in the school bully, school everything, he shouldn't have been, followed me out to the car, and I'll never forget what he said. He just looked at me and he said, "You're letting us down, sir." And he was right.
Yeah.
He was right. I built them up, and now I was letting them down.
But your career beckoned, John.
Oh, yeah, well, it did.
And you've had a great career, as I said. I think you moved into radio when I left Radio City, didn't you? Left Radio City.
That's right.
And you took my seat at Radio City.
I did indeed,
which, without being begged, it was a very, very hard seat to fill, because I was the most popular jockey at the time.
Well, it was very hard seat to fill.
But luckily, they gave you the help of a genius, didn't they?
They did indeed.
Because who produced you when I left?
Wally Scott.
Wally Scott. A better producer on radio you will never, ever find.
No, there's never been a better one.
And he brought out stuff in you didn't think you had.
Well, exactly, yeah. That was his gift. He wasn't a selfish man. He wouldn't bother about putting Wally Scott forward. He'd bring out the best in you.
Yeah, yeah. And he always had ideas. Most producers these days, not knocking everybody, they answer the phone mainly, that's all they do.
That's right.
But Wally came up with ideas. He'd say, "Here's something that'll fit into your show. That'll fit into your show."
Yeah, well, Bride of the Week was Wally's idea initially.
Yeah. So let's hear one of those Brides of the Week, which caused heartache, consternation and near suicidal thoughts to many, many Liverpool brides, as this lady.
Hello?
I'd like to speak to Mr. Davis, please.
Okay.
Hello, love. It's my name's Anderson, Jack Anderson. I'm from the Scarsbrick Hotel in Southport.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm the assistant bookings manager. Now, you remember when you came in to pay the final deposit? I don't know if you remember, love, but there was a bit of a party going on at the time. Do you remember?
Yes, there was. There was all sorts of meat in the public lounge.
That's right, yeah. Well, it was some of the staff were involved. No harm. But unfortunately, there's been a bit of a mix-up. The young lady who actually took your final booking and your final deposit...
Yes.
Well, between you and I, Donna, you know, she didn't have her mind on her work the way she should have done that day. I mean, she's been told off about it, but the problem is that because of this, your final booking on with your final deposit didn't go through. And as a result of this, we, in fact, cancelled or didn't confirm your booking for the room for the reception.
But I was booked, actually. That was booked about 4 weeks, well, 4 months ago. It wasn't actually booked that day.
Oh, yeah, I know that, love. But we've got a system here, you see, which this is why I'm ringing you, not the lady that you spoke to. The thing is that we have a system here whereby until the actual final deposit is paid, see, in the past, people have paid so much and not paid the final, and we've let them have the reception, and they never give us the money afterwards, you see. So until the actual final money is paid, it doesn't actually...
What's the alternative that you're going to give me?
That's the problem. The problem is, love, we haven't got any alternative room in the hotel. And what we'd have to do is go somewhere else.
Well, whereabouts?
Well, do you know Southport at all, Donna?
No, I don't. I don't know it at all.
No. Well, just round the corner from the hotel, there's a very, very nice place called Capaldi's Fish and Chip Bar.
A fish and chip bar?
Yeah.
You've got to be joking. I'm sorry, no, there's just something going wrong here. I'm not having my wedding reception in the fish and chip bar, that's for sure.
Yeah, but you did say you don't know Southport, love. I mean, it's not any ordinary fish and chip bar. It's all done out, it's all...
Excuse me, I booked this at least 4 months ago, and I'm sorry, I'm just not having it anywhere else in the room that I previously booked it in.
Well, yeah, I mean, but the trouble is, love, you can't, because another wedding's going to be in the same room, love, you can't.
Well, yes, but I was there first, and that's all there is to it, and I'm not going anywhere else.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, see, the trouble is, I mean, look, just let me tell you about this Capaldi's place. Now, it's a beautiful place, and they do all, they've got a bit, I mean, it's not just fish and chips, you know, they've got fish cakes, there's all kinds of pies.
Oh, I'm sorry, no, I'm not carrying on this conversation 1 minute longer.
Well, just hang on a minute, love, because you went off, get me into trouble here, see, because I'm only the assistant bookings manager, to be honest.
I don't care who you are. Can you imagine 30 guests at a wedding reception sitting down to fish and chips?
I don't know. I mean, I like fish and chips. I mean, I've been to some wedding receptions where the meals was awful. I'd have been happy with fish and chips. You know, I mean, I don't think you're being fair to Tony Capaldi. So, like, the man's going to be upset when I tell him you don't want to go to his place, love. It's a lovely place. Think you know, with it being fish and chips and that, you think you're going to have the fish and chips in paper. These are all on plates, you know, with proper, not plastic knives.
Listen, I just want to stop you right here. You've just gone one step too far. I just can't take this no longer. I really can't. I'm just not having it whatsoever. I mean, I booked this wedding 4 months ago. I mean, okay, 4 months isn't long for a wedding, but I'm telling you now, I've paid my money and I've put it down on the table. I've got receipts. I've got everything I need. I'm going to have that wedding where I first of all decided to book it. And I am definitely not having it in any fish and chip shop.
You're a bit annoyed, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Have you noticed that the other fella's gone? Jack Anderson, the Cockney's gone. Have you noticed that?
Oh, yes, I have.
Yeah, this is Johnny Kennedy of Radio City, and you've been on the air for the last 4 minutes. Oh, you were going good style there, weren't you, girl?
Yes, I am.
You're Radio City's Bride of the Week.
Oh, thank you very much. You know what you can do with your fish and chips.
What, not 40 portions?
Oh, no.
Well, listen, darling, before you go any further, I better tell you, because I know the wedding is only, well, it's about half an hour away, isn't it? I better tell you, look, it is a joke, love. There is nothing wrong at all at the Scallisbrick Hotel in Southport and Lord Street. They're looking forward to you coming, and everything is laid on.
Oh, that's lovely.
It really was just a joke, and the only reason that I knew about what had happened when you went to pay the final deposit was that your kid...
Yeah, I know. I'm going to kill her. I really will.
She told me all about it.
Oh, I will, yeah. I will never bring her with me again anywhere.
Oh, well, and it was a bit of fun, and we had a... But you were really going good style, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
To you and Anthony Bolger, all the very best for the future. I'm going to play a nice piece of music for you, okay?
That's lovely. Thanks very much.
Okay, Donna.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, as Bride of the Week, love, you will, of course, get a nice Radio City bouquet and a telly message as well. Right, bye now.
Bye. Billy Butler.
Liverpool Live. There we are, Johnny's Bride of the Week. And you're always treading very, very carefully with something like that, aren't you, John? So you've got to think on your feet all the while.
And not also, very much. So,
and you've also got a time when you should end it, haven't you? If you overdo it, it becomes obvious,
absolutely,
doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. There's only one right time to get out of it, and you've got to spot that right time, you know. And, of course, we mentioned Wally. I mean, whatever success I had in radio, well, you know, perhaps it's not for me to say, but it's
you, like myself, you won some Scouseology Awards, haven't
That's
we?
Right, you
know?
Yeah.
And when you get voted by your own, there's nothing better.
Well, it isn't, absolutely not, you know. But, I mean, without Wally Scott, I wouldn't have had a radio career. It's as simple as that.
And you were, how many years were you in that city, John?
Oh, gosh, was it eight, I think?
Eight.
Because
I did the terrible thing because I took my producer back, didn't I? And
that's why you
left you without it.
You did. Oh, I remember the one very pleased about that.
So other things, John, you've appeared with the Beatles. You appeared with the Beatles at the Manchester Southern Sports Club.
I did indeed.
Beatles and John Kennedy, it said. Wrong order, of course, but there we are. These
it was in the stage, Beatles and Johnny Kennedy.
And looking at some of the other things then, the people who were on at the same time at other clubs in Bury, Bonkshaw. Famous Liverpool comedian.
He was funny,
At the Mabel Ballroom, Hayes and Benny.
Oh, yeah.
They were a double act. They always said Cannon and Ball stole their act. At the New Luxor, Mike Coyne, another great comedy.
Mike Coyne,
you know.
Yeah.
And at the Embassy, Jimmy Tarbuck.
Ah, oh, don't come bigger than Jimmy.
No. Okay, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to play a song, John. I know you're a big opera fan, and I'm going to play a song which I've been telling you to do for weeks and months and ages now, after this.
Billy Butler on Liverpool Live with Morton's Dairies. Tradition, trust and service with a smile to your door.
Johnny also did many, many marathons before an injury brought an end to that. He appeared at the London Palladium. He's acted in Hey Benny and many other things as well. And he's turned out to be a fine, hang on, Johnny's put a word on it, magnificent opera singer. Now, there's one number I keep telling Johnny to do because it brings the house down at clubs. It's such a good song. And seeing as you're still not doing it, Johnny, I'm playing it now by a young Liverpool lad called George Gallagher.
Billy Butler on Liverpool Live with Morton's Dairies. Tradition, trust and service with a smile to your door.
You understand why I've been trying to get you to do that now, John, for ages?
I can understand why.
Yeah. Great song, isn't
it? It is
a great song.
I'm going to have to start singing that. But he made a great job of it, didn't he?
Yeah. Now, what's happening with your comedy, John? You're still a fine comedian, but you still do stage plays and you sing opera. Well, what about the comedy? Have you dropped that now?
Well, it's difficult to combine comedy with the other things that you've mentioned. You know, if you come on and sing some opera, I mean, people love opera now. Some opera songs are almost pop songs, and they love it.
You're right.
And then, so what do they want? They want another one. They don't really want you to start telling them jokes.
No, I see what you mean.
So the things clash. You really can't do the two. So I'm tending to drop the comedy and just sing as well as I can.
And you're still acting. I mean, we saw you in Hey Benny and lots of other things. And you're working on another smash hit from Stan Boardman, aren't you?
Yeah, yes, that's right. Yeah.
Did I just say smash hit? Or was that? So Stan's writing another play, isn't he? Which is a comedy play. Which
he is. Yes,
be
he is. Yeah. Oh, he's a good lad, Stan, and he's a good writer, actually. He writes good stuff.
He is, but he should be. He's in the business himself, isn't he?
Well, exactly, yeah.
And also, John, when you left City, you went to Marcher, if I'm not mistaken, didn't you?
I did, for a short while. A Welsh station.
Yeah.
To be honest, but I really didn't feel at home there.
No.
I'm a Scouser. I'm not Welsh.
Of course. And you've recently become a married man as well.
Yes, indeed, I have. Yes.
And you still look good on it as well, John. You've not depreciated at all since it happened. So what's the plans, John? I mean, I'm going to play your second number one before we finish. His second Liverpool number one.
Yeah.
Not only one Liverpool number one, he had two number ones.
Well, are you going to play it now?
No.
No. Oh. That's what you said you were.
Yeah, I'm going to play it now. So this song, John, I remember when this came out, Stay in Your Own Backyard, and everybody assumed, and I did as well, and I profess to know my stuff as well, but everybody always thought it was an Al Jolson song.
No.
And it's not, is it?
No, it's no.
But
never.
You can imagine this would be an Al Jolson
song. Oh, yeah, you can, but it wasn't.
So where did you get it from?
Where did I get it from? Yeah. Well, you'd be surprised when I tell you. My gran used to sing it.
Go away.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I loved it. So she taught me. I've been singing since I was a little kid, you know, really a little kid. And she said, come on, I'll teach you it. And so she wrote the words down for me on a big piece of paper and big block caps and said, now there you are. We play it now and you just sing off there. And I did. And I loved it. And no one else was doing it.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I'd never heard it. And yet it's a great song.
Oh, you never heard it before?
Never
you heard me
heard
sing
it before, no. So we're going to play it now. And it's very, when you think of listening to the words, it's very, very current as well.
Yes, that's true.
It really is. We listen to the words. So here he is. Well, I hate saying this. With his second Liverpool number one, Johnny Kennedy. There we are, Johnny Kennedy, and Stay in Your Own Backyard is second Liverpool number one. I hate saying that. His second Liverpool number one. And I asked Johnny before why he didn't continue with his opera career, and he said he gave up to the threatening letters of Russell Watson and decided just to leave it alone for now. So there we are. John, it's been great talking to you.
And you too,
Bill. Can't fit your career in 30 minutes, but we've done our best. And I'm sure you'd like to come back again if we ask you.
I'd love to come back, Bill.
That's good to know. So, leaving you there with Johnny Kennedy's Stay in Your Own Backyard. And we'll keep the public in touch with the new Stan Boardman hit. I'll let you know exactly when it's going to be on. Johnny, thanks for your time.
Pleasure,
good to
Bill.
See you again. Good
pleasure.
To see you again.
I'd love to
little
be on. Thank you.
Little suggestion before we go. You've got quite a few of those Bride of the Weeks, haven't you?
I have, yeah.
Now, just like Hold Your Plumbers, people haven't forgotten Bride of the Week.
No, that's right.
The Bride of the Week that you've got, put them all on CD and go on eBay. You'll do well with them, I'll tell you.
You reckon?
Because it's a Scouse thing, isn't it?
Well, it is a Scouse thing, yeah.
Okay.
Billy Butler on Liverpool Live with Morton's Dairies. Tradition, trust and service with a smile to your door.
If you enjoy my podcast, there's more over the next few weeks. Don't forget to subscribe. Click the link below. It's free. Liverpool Live.